Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. Support it while you still can. It's still here. The Republic Broadcasting Network may be the only Republic anything left if we can't rally and save our President Donald Trump. If Joe Biden gets elected, that's the end of the American Republic. We'll still have Republic Broadcasting for a little while. It's good to have at least a little bit of Republic somewhere. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Keep this alive. Keep the Republic alive. And go to nationalbugle.com. It's got lots of interesting stories, more to come. Download the CoCertified app. CoCertified is totally our sponsor. So download the CoCertified app. That's how you support this show. That's how you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. And we have today Philbert Applebag, who, among other things, is the composer of the bumper music I was using yesterday with Mark Collett. I always use Philbert's music with Mark Collett, and I'm using his bumper music again today. It's very, very good music. Welcome to the show, Philbert.
Thank you. Thank you for using my music, too. It's at least somebody who uses it. You spent a lot of time on this stuff, and I was having a hard time just getting somebody to use it for free.
Well, it's good, and the song Thursday, which I use for the first break, and then coming back before and after the first break, that I like in particular. And when was it? Was it in 2019? I think it was in 2019. I used it for a video. I used it as the background music. And I was I was impersonating, I think it was a French accent, some sort of foreign accent, and it was my Dear John letter to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, that worked out really well. So, but of course, YouTube took that down. It's been censored. It's up somewhere.
Been nuked.
It's been nuked. So, I'm gonna. You've got some stuff you've been looking into. Cyber stuff, cybersecurity stuff, which is something we're all going to need to get better at. I know I will.
Yeah, and privacy. I'm big into privacy too, just on how to retain privacy. And I guess that's per se different, I guess, than cybersecurity. It's actually, to me, it comes a little easier. But yeah, on how to protect your phone, how to lock things down a little bit better, what have you.
Yeah, but before we get to that, I'm just going to bring up some things. So we're recording this Tuesday morning, and this will air in just a few hours, so things are moving so fast, who knows what's going to happen in the next few hours. Yesterday afternoon I was pretty excited. I was busy doing things, but to the extent I could, I was listening on and off to Rudy Giuliani and his witnesses and their presentation to the Arizona state legislature, or at least to Republicans, a Republican-led hearing in the state legislature, making an extremely convincing argument, much better even than in Pennsylvania, because he had more time to prepare. He brought along witnesses who could address some of the cybersecurity aspects of the voting machines and the irregularities, the statistical irregularities. So it was a very good presentation. He had lots of witnesses who had been experienced intimidation in Phoenix, or in what is that county? Begins with an A. I can't remember. Iacopa County or whatever it is. And then Pima County have been forced to not be, or had been prevented from watching the canvassing of the votes, where they tally the votes from the various precincts. The same thing that we were hearing before. We had a very convincing presentation, and it seemed to be well received by the legislators in attendance. And I was feeling really good about that. I also saw that in Pennsylvania, we knew from Friday that Senator Dan Mastriano, State Senator Mastriano, was pushing for a resolution to take back the authority granted to them under the Constitution to appoint the electors. And he seemed to have a lot of Republicans on board. And then I heard yesterday afternoon that Russ Diamond, Representative Russ Diamond, in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, he was co-sponsoring this in the lower house, in the House of Representatives, and Mastriano in the Senate. And it looked ready to go. And then I came home, and just before Jeremy's show, he texted me and said he couldn't find anything on Pennsylvania. And I looked and looked, and I found that I found a report that the leaders of the House and the Senate in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, they adjourned is for the day. They closed the session. They closed the assembly session without allowing for a vote on this resolution, because there wouldn't be time for it. There's not time to save the republic. They cheated, and they cheated fair and square, and we're just going to let them get away with it, because it's not time for. And besides, Donald Trump is orange and he's mean.
We'll get him next time. Get him next time.
Yeah, and so it's a setback. I'm not going to say it's not a setback, but it's not the end of the game. And there's a lot of things that can happen. And I don't know if these people are listening to any of my shows, or if people around them are listening to the shows. I mean, I was talking about appointing electors long before I heard anybody else talking about it. So I don't know. But, you know, it's there in the Constitution. This is what they need to do in Pennsylvania and other places. Dan Mastriano and Russ Diamond, they need to invite the Trump electors. There are 20 individuals who were registered as Trump electors. Should Trump be designated as the winner of the state, certified as the winner of the state, then those 20 individuals become electors, right? Up until now, they're elector candidates. They would become electors, and they would cast votes. So what he needs to do is have those people preferably come to the state capitol, and even if they're not, if the guards don't let them into the state capitol, do it on the front steps of the state capitol, where they meet and they vote. They need to meet at the state capitol, and they need to vote. And then those votes need to get sent to Mike Pence. That's how it works. They can do this. If they certify them themselves, they get a judge to certify them, whatever. But they need to send them. There is precedent. You had in 1960, the electors for Richard Nixon were certified by the governor. And then about a week later, the electors for John F. Kennedy were certified by that very same governor. And both sets of electors actually met and cast their votes. And both votes were delivered to the vice president of the United States, who was Richard Nixon. And he counted the Kennedy votes. So that there's history. But this is what
I have a question. Like, who adjourned that meeting? Or you said it wasn't adjourned. You said they closed it. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, closed it. Well, I forgot what the name was. That? It was the Speaker of the Assembly. And I don't know who makes the decision for the Senate. I mean, technically, the head of the Senate is a lieutenant governor, who's this 6'9" Jew with tattoos all over the place. He's his
brother.
He was on the Colbert Report like eight or nine, 10 years ago. He was the mayor of some little town, Braddock, and I forgot his name. He's some big Jew. And when I say big Jew, he's an enormous Jew. He's about 6'9" and heavy. And he's in his 40s, and he shaves his head. And I think, does he have a beard? I don't know. But he's this big guy, and he's got tattoos all over.
He ate a couple of Nadlers.
Yeah, and he ran for governor against the current governor in the primaries. And he ran on a pro man-on-man anal platform. It was a very, very gay. I mean, so That's this dude.
Very loathsome.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is. But so he's technically head of the Senate, but I don't know. I don't think he was holding the gavel. I thought this the Senate Majority Leader, I think, is named Kim Ward. She I looked her up on Wednesday because she seemed to be chairing that session, that meeting, the hearing that Dan Mastriano spearheaded. And this woman Ward was I thought she was the majority leader, but maybe it's not the majority leader who makes the decision. Because when I read this article in some local Pennsylvania newspaper, they were using names I wasn't familiar with. So anyway, I don't know how they can come back into session because the governor could call them into session. I don't know if they can come back into session without the governor. They might be able to. Pennsylvania has a professional legislature that is in session most of the year, so maybe they can come back without him. But at any rate, December 14th, these 20 electors, they need to meet. They need to meet if in Harrisburg, preferably inside the state capitol building. If not on the state capitol grounds, and they need to cast votes, and they need to send them to Mike Pence, deliver them to Mike Pence. So, and other, the Trump electors in all of these states need to do something like that. They need to vote, and they need to send those votes to Mike Pence, and that will preserve some freedom of action. It will preserve certain strategies on January 6th, when the electoral votes are counted.
You got to do it. We all know Kamala hate whites and Biden are going to destroy what's left of white America, or even civilized America, you know? You're going to be able to call 911 like a few people did during all these riots, and the police or the 911 operators are going to say, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry. We'll make sure to let city council know you're in trouble."
Well, is that what they said, or did they say, "Why don't you call city council and tell them?"
I don't remember. You may be right. I thought it was something along those lines.
It was something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't know about everybody else, but that's kind of the government breaking their social construct, right? I mean, that's why we pay taxes, you know? The government at its most basic level, you know, is supposed to protect people. I wonder if people are going to still pay their taxes if, you know, police aren't even going to protect them.
So, anyway, Saturdays are the days that they have these Stop the Steal rallies at all state capitals. And I have seen video of the rallies here and there. Do you know Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, I'm familiar. I haven't ever listened to his show or anything, though.
And he's a young kid, and he's not, like, it's not as if I think I would have a lot to learn from him, but I tell you what, more than anybody else, he's been out there in front of the state capitals rallying people, and he deserves a big amount of credit. Alex Jones, too. Alex Jones.
Yeah,
too.
I was going to say, of all people, I find myself agreeing with a lot, or is Alex Jones of all people. But, you know, this is important. It doesn't matter. We got to put petty stuff aside, you know.
Yeah. And then yesterday, Nick Fuentes was in Phoenix with Michelle Malkin. And so big shout out to her. But this is, you know, one of the things is, okay, so Nick Fuentes is 22. And I don't know where he gets his takes from. Maybe he gets his takes from RBN. I don't know where he gets them from. But he, in general, has very good takes on things. And because he's 22, I guess he doesn't feel like he's got a lot to lose. And he's a professional. I guess he was a professional YouTuber. Now he's a professional whatever platform he has left her. And he's just been doing this nonstop, and somebody needs to do it. And he's got a big name, and he's been out there. He was in Atlanta, and he's been in Phoenix, and I guess he was in Lansing, Michigan before that. By the way, when I was looking at all of these rallies in state capitals, I came across the one in Missouri. Is Springfield the capital of Missouri? What's the capital of Missouri?
Jefferson City.
Jefferson City. And I guess Springfield is Illinois. But Jefferson City is, there's nobody there. They had the Epoch Times, which is run by the Falun Gong cult in China, or it's an anti-communist religious cult. And they've been in a lot of these rallies. And so they were interviewing people. And, you know, they'd interview people in Jefferson City who were just standing in front of a shrub, and you wouldn't see anybody there. It was,
right. I've been through Jefferson City. Last time I went through there, I was on my way to Columbia, to MU, the university. And, yeah, it was almost underwater, the Capitol. It's right on the river, and the river was so high, the Missouri River was so high, I was almost underwater.
Okay, so Jefferson City, it's up north in Missouri.
It's in the middle.
Is it in the middle?
It's pretty much in the middle, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a little bit further north, you know, it's not pinpoint middle.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's sad because, all right, so Missouri, Trump won Missouri pretty easily. So it's not as if Missouri's being disputed, but go and support Donald Trump. You know, if they're having events, go to these events. I don't know.
We're trying to organize your own. I mean, I don't know how one would do that, but call up some friends, see what you can do.
What you can do is you can make a sign saying stop the seal or appoint the electors or whatever message you want and just stand out by a roadside. And if you get half a dozen people, then
if you have a Bluetooth speaker, just play like the same music that Trump would play at his rallies.
Yeah.
Just play the old 70s, you know, just the dance songs, you know.
Well, so, like, yeah.
And like then, what? Yeah, and then or, no. Rally.
Just Macho Man. Have your own rally. Macho Man.
Macho Man, yeah, YMCA. YMCA. King of the Village People.
You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. That was his theme for a while.
Man, you know, I'll never forget when he was told that Ginsburg died and they had that Elton John song playing in the background.
Tiny Dancer? Was it Tiny Dancer?
No, it was, I forget. It would have been good if it was Candle in the Wind, but I don't think it was that one. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no, it would have, you know, well, is it too soon to say it would have been good if the bitch is back? Do you remember that song? Well, the bitch, yeah, the no. bitch, the bitch is back. Something Cadillac.
Oh, okay. There's a newer one that's like that. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, okay. So we're coming up on the first break pretty soon, but there was a meme going around in the days after the demise of the Notorious One, and it pictured Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she's where is she? I guess she's in hell with John McCain, and so, you know, there's all this fire around, and she's looking at John McCain, and she says, "Where's Hitler?" And McCain says, "Guess."
Yeah,
I guess I told it to some younger guy, and he just said, boomer meme, but
yeah, but you could have that same picture with a different caption. When the caption could be, "Where's Epstein?"
Yeah, well, where is it? Well, I don't know. Well, he's behind the rock with a little girl, I guess. I don't know. Anyway,
John McCain seems like John McCain would be like an Epstein.
Well, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back. So we have other things to talk about. And one is Tucker Carlson, who had a show last night that at least the first half, until he started talking about UFOs, the first half would have been a very, very good show a few months ago. But this is after the election. He really needs to talk about the election, and he's not. But what about Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, well, everybody was upset when he came out with that story when he said he kind of jumped on the no evidence baseless bandwagon that everybody else had.
For Sidney Powell,
I got to admit that I was kind of surprised myself. But I did a little research on him, and there's several pictures you can find of him. I think it's on the left hand that where that Kabbalah bracelet is. It I think it's the left hand, and you can see that every once in a while. So next time you're watching him, keep an eye, see if you can see that little red wrist bracelet on the left arm.
Are you sure it's not a wrist strong one of those wrist strong bracelets that Stephen Colbert was pushing?
Maybe, but yeah, let me. I'm not finished yet, but his dad was a CIA. I didn't know that, and I think you probably knew that, but I didn't know that. I mean, I have no idea.
I don't know. I've heard that, but like I say, I thought his dad was who's the guy from the network movie? You Stay Classy, San Diego? Ron, what's his name? Oh, Jeremy knows his name.
I'm not even sure. I don't even know.
Burgundy. Ron Burgundy. Wasn't his dad Ron Burgundy or something like that? From the, not network movie, Anchorman movie. Oh. Wasn't his dad like a local TV guy in San Diego?
I don't know. I didn't know his middle name is Swanson. Tucker Swanson McNear Carlson, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, his mother owns the Swanson Company,
she's the
frozen food.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he comes from old money.
He does.
And some people will probably know old money, you can't trust old money. Or it's a good rule of thumb to go by. And I think that's true. But so, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. He tried out for this. He allegedly tried out for the CIA before he became a journalist in Little Rock. And allegedly he failed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so did, what's his name from CNN? Who's the gay guy from CNN, the gay anchor? I forget his name.
Oh, Anderson Cooper.
Right, yeah, Anderson Cooper. I think either he was an intern for CIA or I think it was something similar. He just, quote, failed too. And they just get sheepwashed, right? They just get a new identity. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, so he's likely a CIA. Likely. It's not, you can't prove it, but it's very convincing, I think.
Well, I mean, certainly in the 50s and probably after that, there was a lot of CIA cooperation or infiltration into the media. Now, who knows? Maybe, I don't know how it works now. The media seems to run things even more than the CIA. We know Tucker Carlson, he came into national journalism by way of William Kristol and the Weekly Standard magazine, and that was his mentor. And then he got into CNN, and he was the bow-tied who was he opposite? He was opposite somebody as a conservative on the Crossfire show. So Crossfire was this political shouting show that they had in the 1980s with – who was on it first? I don't know. There are a couple of people.
Tucker, it says he is the – sorry to interrupt. He is the elder son of Richard Warner Carlson, former Gonzo reporter who became the director of Voice of America.
Okay, and of course Voice of America might as well be CIA. So Voice of America is American propaganda aimed at Eastern Europe and, you know, other places. It was aimed mostly at the communist countries, but it's and that's, you know, State Department's / CIA, and where the boundary really is, who knows. But Tucker Carlson, over these past 4 years, like, he was, I always despised him. And then shortly after Trump was inaugurated, he got this, shortly after Trump was elected, he got this gig on Fox, which I guess was needing to fill some slots because they'd lost Bill O'Reilly, had gotten Me Too'd, and then Megyn Kelly jumped ship. And so he filled somebody's slot. That sounds kind of gross, but
oh, Dr. Slattery.
There he was, and all of a sudden he was talking about some things nobody else on the media, in the mainstream media, was talking about. And so I've been following for the past 4 years. When I say following, I've been monitoring him, and sometimes I'm very angry with him because he's, especially when he goes off on China, deflecting.
I agree. Completely agree. That's it's very frustrating to see the kind of diversions, especially when he had that alleged scientist on, or government official, or maybe it was a government scientist from Hong Kong,
Chinese girl. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just crazy to watch.
He, you know, the same day he was saying that Sidney Powell had no evidence, then he replays that interview he had with her, and she had no evidence.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're off the break, but we're going to be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Well, we are back, and we were talking about the fake election, the hoaxed election, and then Tucker Carlson, who was a phenomenon these past 4 years. But now what's going on with him?
CIA, I think. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like he was very close to mentioning full-out white nationalism, you know? He even got close to mentioning the Jews a couple times. I remember he had, I don't remember the guy's name. He was a Obama committee or campaign member, but he was saying something about how we can't have a wall here. And Tucker said, well, how come we have to pay for Israel's walls? You know, well, I mean, he brings up very valid points. Yeah, and then, you know, he won't mention an obvious stealing of the election, or like I said, he jumped on the baseless no evidence bandwagon. And I mean, either he got the memo, or you know, maybe he was threatened, or you know, maybe they threatened to take away his cash. I don't know. But you know, when I look at his history and find out his dad was CIA and a journalist, and then he went to the CIA to apply, and just, you know, he got rejected, you know, it's just, it's very fishy.
I knew this guy at college, grad school, who had been, he was telling me and someone else that he had applied for the CIA and been accepted, and they had set him up. He was going to be an undercover, and they'd set him up with a fake identity and everything. And like the day before he was going to go off, I guess they found out that he had mentioned something to somebody else. They found out that he had mentioned something to somebody else. And so that was that. They didn't take him, and that was that. And so he went and joined the Navy, and you know, went and fought wars for Israel.
Yeah, I don't mean to be very conspiratorial, but there's some evidence that suggests like Timothy McVeigh was intelligence too. And I mean, not to mention Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, you could go on and on. I mean, but I think it's more convincing that Tucker Carlson would be CIA than Lee Harvey Oswald or Timothy McVeigh. You know, there's more, seems to be more evidence for that. But anyway, it's they do have a history of that kind of subversion anyway. So it's not too far-fetched to, you know, see that.
Well, and getting close to mentioning the Jews, I think it was during the first year or so that he was on, he was talking about admissions to Harvard and to the elite, you know, to the Ivy League schools. And he was talking about, I think he was talking about whites being discriminated against and Christians being discriminated against. Did he say white Christians? He might have even said something like white Christians. And that's really, maybe he didn't say white Christians, maybe he just said Christians. But, you know, that's the thing. It's the Jews get this massive privilege. And so the flip side of that is Christians, or at least white Christians, are facing mass discrimination. So he was getting really close. And even just within the past week, I don't know who it was, but he had on a guest. And, you know, I was probably walking my dog and listening, and so I wasn't watching the screen, so I'm not sure who it was. But he had on a guest who said something about white people. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he specifically said something about hostility towards whites or discrimination against whites. And so, yeah, he's gotten really close to that. And it could be that he's CIA. It could be that he's, you know, the fake opposition, what do you call it?
Controlled
opposition.
Yeah.
It could be that. Or it could be that he has just been had his leash yanked, or yeah. You know, there's like he could have been pretty sincere in trying to.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, that he could have been sincere in trying to push the envelope to the extent he thought he could. Maybe he thought he was doing the best he could, and maybe he was doing the best he could, and then maybe he's had a talking to. Maybe he's been bribed with a new lucrative contract, whatever. But since the election, Hannity was pushing the election fraud, and Tucker wasn't. Tucker is going against Biden. He's going against Harris. He's going against a lot of the policies that they would represent. But he hasn't been going – and he's been saying, well, the election should be looked into. But he hasn't been calling it a fraud, and it's so obviously a fraud.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so part of the fraud, of course, is cybersecurity, and I don't expect you to necessarily know all the ins and outs about what was going on with Dominion voting and all of that. I don't know how much you've looked into it. I haven't looked that carefully into it, but we do have big cybersecurity issues, both on a national level and on a personal level, and I know that you've been looking into a lot of this. So do you have anything prepared that you want to share with people?
Yes. I found out something crazy. I thought it was crazy, and this is a real thing. And there can be, say you're in your living room just watching TV at any time of the day, some advertisers, during the advertisements, they'll put embed a high-frequency ultrasonic sound that isn't audible to the human ear. Mm-hmm. They'll put that into the advertisement, and there are certain apps on your phone that will pick that up, right? And they can track you.
I want to ask.
Yeah.
They put that into their advertising. Does that wind up getting played through your TV speakers?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, whatever, and you can't hear it.
Okay, because like a telephone would filter that out. Telephones will filter out, you know, that like if you have an 88-key piano, if you play the highest keys on that piano, I don't think you can hear that through the phone. I think the phone, traditional phone lines, landlines at least, would filter out the highs and the lows.
Okay. Or save bandwidth. I didn't know that.
They save on bandwidth, and that way they could stack, going through copper wires, they could stack frequencies, right?
Well, I can't say I didn't learn anything today.
Yeah, that's old school.
But anyway, yeah, these apps, on some apps on your phone, unknowingly, they'll pick it up, right? And they can make profiles. They can build profiles of you. They know where you're at, you know. And if you're on a Wi-Fi, you know, that's logged on your phone, and you know, certain apps can see that. And it's crazy the stuff that they can do. I found that out, and there's a habit I've gotten into to counter that. Is there's an app you can download. It's called Eagle Security. And it's only accessible with Android, but it has options on there where you can mute your microphone. And I know this happens because I have a spectrogram on my phone also, and it goes off. And if you try to call somebody, it's completely muted. I know this works. So I was listening to Stormfront, and I remember
Jay.
Yeah, one of you Inses had said that. It was harder to mute your microphone. That is true, but there's an app that does that.
Me.
So, and that is no joke. It's extremely insecure, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how you have to basically not have a phone to be secure. But you know, we have phones, and that's how it is. But so, if you're interested in muting your microphone, so not being tracked, look into this app. It's called Eagle Security, and you can get it on the App Store. So. Yeah, I thought that was crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah, I mean, that inability to mute, I don't know. I don't, to what extent it's just my own boomerism, to what extent I've got a phone that is old and should be replaced. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, I have trouble with that. So
you can get old Linux phones too. And there's an individual on
phones.
Yeah, well, you can make them. There's a version of Ubuntu Touch, I think it is, and yeah, you can put that on certain phones. There's a phone like a Nokia 2009 version. It's and you have to do it yourself, and you have to, even tech savvy people have problems doing it. But there is a way to do it, and there's also an individual that sells these too on YouTube. Well, he has a YouTube channel. He's everywhere.
I think I've got an old Nokia phone, okay. So I'll look into that. Now Ubuntu, which is a Linux distribution, I used to use that, and then David wanted me to get Windows so that we could share files or something. And that,
right.
I shouldn't be saying this on air, but like, that was the biggest mistake I ever made. Not the biggest. I've made some bigger mistakes than that, but it is something that I regret on a daily basis, having,
gotta love Linux. Gotta love it.
I will be doing that.
So I know we're almost out of time, but if anybody wants to try out Linux, you can download a version and mess around with it. And if you accidentally break it or whatever, you can just re-download it again. It's a really good way to learn Linux. And Linux does not track you like Windows does. And not only that, one of the best things about Linux is that when you update it, your settings stay the same, right? So you get all your settings right, and then unlike Windows, as soon as you update it, sometimes your computer won't even start back up. Sometimes those Windows updates are brutal.
But, and they happen all of a sudden. You know, they can just, like, you're in the middle of doing some work, you walk away, and then the next thing you know, everything that you had, it has been shut down and restarted because of a Windows update.
Yeah, and who wants to give that a-hole Bill Gates more money, you know? I mean, I have a computer with Windows on it, but I also have a machine with Linux on it. And it's only because a lot of the apps aren't operable. But, you know, the more people that go over to Linux, it's better for the whole, you know, internet biosphere, I guess you could call it, right? It's just the whole network. And, you know, the more people that use Linux, the more companies are going to be forced to make programs that are operable. And there's most, just because you don't get one program on Linux that you might have on Windows, it doesn't mean thing that's another.
Basically everything that most people would need. So browser. Most people just use a computer for browsing the internet. And you got various browsers.
Yeah, maybe social media.
And then, yeah, and then if you do word processing or spreadsheets or whatever, the OpenOffice is available, or LibreOffice, or these other things.
Libre, right?
Yeah.
And if you have an Android or an iPhone, those are both run off of Linux, right? So you use it every day, and people don't know it. And I think 95 90 plus some percent of all servers in the world run off of Linux or Unix, which is Linux. So,
yeah, I'm definitely moving back in that direction. And
yeah, me too. Me as well. But I mean, especially in this day and age when they're trying to outlaw encryption, like we briefly talked about last time.
Okay, here's a question. And I want to ask about, or I want to talk about Bill Gates if we get to it. But before that, so Linux is for the most part open source.
Yes. Yeah, it's an open source operating system. How, so anybody can make changes to it.
How is it that open source winds up being more secure for us than these proprietary operating systems like Windows or Apple, whatever it's called?
Because the developers can't sneak things in. And if they do, that people that are, you know, are just into this as a hobby and look at software. I'm not there yet. I would love to get there. It's very complicated. But people that are experts at software can look at this and they can see if there's backdoors or things that are insecure. And so oftentimes, instead of one development team, you know, if they release the source code, you'll have whole communities looking at the source code and finding different ways to improve it, you know, at a much faster rate. And, you know, so it tends to be more secure, just much more thorough, because you have much more creative minds. And not only that, you know, if people are passionate about this, say they're not even getting paid, right? So it just, the work on it tends to be more high quality, too.
So a lot of the open source people, what they're doing is they try to do a good job, and so that they have a portfolio they can show so that they get a high paying job down the road. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them use it that way. I'm into this for the passion and for the, I think that, well, I'm worried that, you know, eventually whites are going to, if you're white, you're going to be labeled a terrorist. And that's one of the reasons that I got into cybersecurity is because there's strength in numbers. And if we all don't, you know, start understanding this stuff, then it's all going to be used against us. You know, I mean, Trump supporters and people on the right, for the lack of a better term, you know, tend to be more rugged and self-reliant, you know, and live off the land and everything. And yeah, that's true. And I mean, that's kind of how I was. And I wasn't very tech savvy at all. I'm still not very tech savvy. But, you know, it's important we get people that, you know, to learn the technology and kind of, you know, because it seems like leftists are more into, you know, the tech side.
Right? You know? Something, we're getting a tapping sound.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. It's because you're a musician. You're a drummer and a guitar player, right?
Yes, sir.
Guilty as charged. Okay.
Anyway, we got to get more people to learn our technology, and so we can use it properly, and so it's not used against us.
That indeed we do. We do. I don't know if we have really enough time to go into it, but let's start. So, I heard on some radio show, probably on RBN, because I'm not finding a whole lot outside of RBN worth listening to nowadays. But somebody was saying that Bill Gates is using vaccines, like he's been using these vaccines in Africa, which wind up sterilizing the Africans. And this is part of his evil agenda. And I was thinking, wait a minute. You know, like the Chinese, I don't want to sound mean, but the Chinese went on a one-child policy. And they had a one-child policy in place for over a generation, for about 35 years. And China went from being dirt poor to being, you know, on the verge of the biggest economy in the world. It was a great thing for them. Right now, you've got the projections, the UN projections are that Africa, the population of Africa by the end of this century, and some people listening to this show may be alive at the end of this century, it could be 4.7 billion, and Africans could make up half of the world's population. Now,
Lord help us.
Yeah, and given, you know, I mean, regardless of other things you might think about it, the idea that you could have 4.7 billion people in Africa, if you got 4.7 billion people in Africa, it would be absolute hell on earth. All, flora and fauna of any size would be extinct, but you'd have this massive overflows of Africans into all the other continents. And to sustain 4.7 billion Africans would mean that the 4.7 billion non-Africans would have to be working day and night in order to support the 4.7 billion Africans. And if that's the case, and Bill Gates, if all of everything Bill Gates is doing is aimed at staving off a massive African overpopulation, is he the most evil person on earth? I don't know. Yeah. We'll get to that on the other side. I want your response on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back. So Bill Gates, is it evil if his actual design is to reduce African fertility? Does that make him the most evil person on earth?
No, that wouldn't, but I don't think that's what he's doing. It seems like he's trying to preserve their lives.
But somebody was saying that's what he was doing. I don't know. Well, but, yeah, go.
I don't know. I don't think that's what we need. I mean, in all honesty, we need somebody to do that. But instead, what he's doing, he's trying to allow women to have even more kids, right? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation say, like, oh, no, yeah, we got a population problem. But you see, when you allow women to make the choices, then they won't have as many kids. And it's like, you know, I mean, we obviously know that's not true, but somehow they think that, you know, we can erase you know, what, 30 to 40,000 years of evolution, you know, of African, you know, people, you know, all of a sudden, like, yeah, give women the freedom, and then they'll choose not to have any more kids, you know, like, that's what they try to sell people.
Well, so, I mean, it kind of worked like that in Europe and in in East Asia.
That's
and
true,
even,
right.
Even Southeast Asia and Latin America. But it hasn't worked like that in the Muslim world. And you could say, well, the women don't have a choice in the Muslim world. And it's certainly not working like that in Africa. And so you have to say, well, okay, I mean, what are the alternatives?
It didn't really work that way in China. I mean, they had to, you know, really... Right. Clamp down on it.
Right. It was enforced in China. It was very what's the word? What is the word when something's not voluntary? I mean, it was forced on.
Coerced.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. It was coerced in China, but it was successful. But it was through coercion. It was through depriving people of freedoms that we hold dear. There are values, my values, but that's what China needed to do. So do you remember 4 years ago I had a show with Andrew Anglin and he was talking?
I do. That's my favorite show that you've ever done.
I know. It's probably my favorite show I've ever done, too. And he was talking about he had written an article on when is the United Nations going to act to cull the Homo erectus population in order to save the African elephant. And, you know, he was raising some questions that everybody's just like whistling past the graveyard. And he was saying, well, I mean, you could have killer robots or you could have a bioengineered virus or this or that. But really, if that's Bill Gates's game after all, that was something that, by the way, Andrew Anglin hadn't thought of. So maybe Bill Gates is one step ahead of Andrew Anglin in terms of dealing with the African overpopulation problem. I don't know. Somebody ought to ask him.
Yeah. Do you think Bill Gates financed the Georgia Guidestones?
I don't know.
Was that Ted Turner?
Well, Ted Turner's, I mean, he's a Georgian. And
oh, really? That's right, because, yeah, CNN is based in Atlanta,
that's
right?
Why it's based in Atlanta, right, Ted Turner.
Okay. You know, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, he was a Georgian. He was a sportsman. I don't know if he had an Olympic gold medal, but he did have, what's that, the cup called for yachting? America's Cup. He was an America's Cup champion. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a world champion yachter, but he has nothing to do. I guess he's been dead for a long time. He's got nothing to do with CNN anymore. But CNN was a good idea at the beginning. I watched it in the early 80s, and you know,
yeah, they even had Dr. Duke on. You know, the infamous Wolf Blitzer and Dr. Duke moment.
And they would they had a lot of pretty Oriental ladies reading the news. That was.
Didn't they even have Dr. Duke back in like 2015 or 16? Right.
That he was on Headline News with Dr. Drew, and Dr. Drew was treating him well. But Dr. Drew had on like these black ladies on his panel who shouted over David Duke, and then they pulled the plug on David. But and Drew was mad. Drew Pinsky was mad, and he actually yelled at his producers. But at any rate, that's all the time we have. But thank you so much for joining me.
Well, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you for having me on your show.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.